Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Relationship Talks with Erica Janelle. I am Erica Janelle, and I am super excited to be before you guys again today. As you can tell, I'm not in my regular surroundings. I am in Atlanta handling some family business, taking care of some things that I needed to take care of here, which is also my home away from home. I lived in Atlanta for 20 years, as many of you know. But I wanted to come before you guys today and kind of switch gears just a little bit. I have no special guest today as I am out of town, but I wanted to talk about something that I feel is very essential before we can even get into connection and all of the topics that we've been talking about. I want to talk about not only the importance of you healing as an individual, but really developing your standards as far as what it is that you need and desire and want in a relationship. These are things that you need to be willing to think about, talk about with potential people that you are looking to be in a committed relationship with, and then figure out if it works for what you are looking for in the long term. I feel like a lot of times we fail to ask the proper questions, and therefore we fail to, you know how to navigate through relationships when we are going through certain challenges and things like that, or even understanding whether or not that person is really the ideal person for us, or if there are just too many differences or too many things that we don't agree on that could cause us to have some type of issues in the future. So I feel like a lot of the issues that we deal with in relationships could be avoided if we just ask ourselves these questions and then be open to having dialogue with the person, the potential partner that we want to spend our lives with. So today I want to talk about that with you guys. So I'm going to just jump right in. I know that you guys are familiar with me talking about the focus being on healing and becoming whole as an individual. That is 100% one of the most important steps in this process of being ready for a relationship. Making sure that you've dealt with your past trauma, whether it be from past relationships, whether it be from your childhood, whatever those traumas are, dealing with those traumas and understanding why your thinking has been shaped the way that it has been. A lot of times we're afraid to go deep and we're afraid to go into those uncomfortable places. And I talk about it all the time, how healing is such an essential part of you being able to be prepared and ready for your journey to be in a relationship. But let's take it a step further. Beyond just healing and beyond just taking the time, whether it be through therapy, whether it be through coaching, whether it be through you just sitting down and writing out some of the traumas and things that you've dealt with, why you have some of the mindsets you have and analyzing those things. Let's talk about the importance of setting yourself aside and setting yourself apart when you are really, really trying to work on that healing process. So when you are in that stage in your life where you're actually ready to put in the work, because let's be clear, you could talk all day about how you want to heal, but until you're ready to put the work in and put an actual practical plan in place, you're not going to be able to reach that goal. So it's very important to have a practical plan in place for your healing process. But once you've decided and you made the decision, you said, okay, I am going to go to therapy. I am going to get some coaching. I am going to write letters to people that have hurt me and kind of release some of those things that have shaped my negative thinking about relationships or my negative thinking or my negative actions that I have developed over the course of time because of my hurt, because of my upbringing, whatever those things are. Once you've gotten to that point, one of the steps that I think most people don't take the time to do is really to set themselves apart and set themselves aside to really just not deal with anybody while you're trying to work through your process. And I know it's not always easy. It's a lot easier to get distracted and have somebody else to be your distraction when you are, dealing with whatever you're dealing with, because a lot of times people don't want to be alone. But I cannot tell you how valuable the time of alone time is when you are really trying to work through your healing process. When I was working through my healing process, I was not dating anyone. I was not entertaining anyone. I knew that my whole focus, my whole attention, my everything had to be drawn into my internal work that needed to be done. I was dealing with childhood trauma. I was dealing with sexual assault trauma. I was dealing with domestic violence trauma. I was dealing with all these different traumas, not to mention the heartbreaks and the letdowns and the feeling like I've been used and abused and all of those things. Having to work through all of that stuff, I realized that no matter how lonely that season was, that season being by myself did not have to be lonely, but it was necessary. And I think loneliness comes from a state of you not being content with who you are. When you are at a place in your life where you are trying to go through your healing process, it's so important to be able to take that time to really take time for yourself. And it's not selfish, but it is self-care. And when I say take time for yourself, we all know that in relationships or even dating or talking to people, it requires some level of energy. It requires some level of consistency. It requires some level of effort. And when you're in a place where you need to really work on yourself, you don't really need to be entertaining anybody. You need to be focusing all of your energy and your attention into your healing process and becoming whole as an individual. So one of the things that I did in my process when I was, you know, really just dealing with a breakup that really, really devastated me. And it was just kind of like a compounding thing for me. My theme was I'm really genuine and I love people and I give my all to my relationships, but I keep ending up with these people that either one are not prepared or ready for me, or two are extremely broken. And I'm trying to be that person that's fixing that broken bird. Or I had to kind of get to the place where I was like, I didn't understand why people would leave me. And a lot of that issue stemmed from my childhood, being rejected from my own father and him not being around. So it was always in the back of my mind, in the recesses of my mind, that men leave. They don't stay. So I realized over the course of time, I was working so hard to try to keep somebody there with me rather than understanding that I am valuable and a person that really genuinely loves me will never leave me. They will be there to support me. They will be there with me through the hard times, through the tough times, and even choose to be with me. Not that they have to, but they will choose to because they genuinely love and care for me. And it took me a long time to get to that healing process of not associating men with letting me down or leaving me or hurting me or abusing me, because that was my history. So when I was going through that healing process, I knew that it was not healthy or safe for me to date anyone. I did not even want to entertain another man at that point in my life. I knew that if I was to entertain another man, because of how broken I was probably going to end up in that same pattern that I had always ended up in. I had always dated the guys that had a lot of issues and a lot of trauma. And I was always in there like, okay, I can love you through that, which my love can love you through that. But that's not my job. My job is not to heal somebody's broken areas. My job is to work on my own healing and be a light and be an example to my partner and to help them through their process, but not to be their God, not to be their savior, not to be their healer. And I had to learn that that was also a part of ego. Yes, it stemmed from trauma from my childhood, but it also stemmed from ego and me thinking that I was all of that to be able to really help anybody. When in all actuality, I needed to help myself and I couldn't even do that without the help of God. So I had to take that time to really give an honest inventory of myself. And I know I can hear some of you saying it is not easy to go into those deep, dark places of your life, the things you've suppressed from childhood or from, you know, your traumatic experiences. It could have been a rape. It could have been, you know, a domestic violence situation, watching your father abuse your mother, like in my case, or going through your own domestic violence situations. All of those things that you suppressed and suppressed and pushed down and pushed down and pushed down for years on years on years on end. Then all of a sudden you're asking, okay, now I want to actually deal with that stuff. Who wants to face it? And in all reality, it's not fun. It's nothing that any of us want to face. But the reality of it is you have to face it in order to move forward. And for me, I had to learn that process. I had to learn how to go deep and go into the uncomfortable places and have the open, uncomfortable conversations with my therapist. I had to be real. I had to tell her some things about me and why I was even drawn to the people that I was in relationships with. I was trying to make something work that was never intended to be in my life in the first place. But it wasn't until I came from a healthier mindset and mentality that I was able to kind of look at my situation objectively and kind of look over it like as if I was standing on a mountaintop looking down at myself. And realizing, oh, that's why you were drawn to this person. You looked at that person because they may not have been the person that you would have typically dated, but they made you feel protected. They made you feel wanted. They made you feel desired. So you thought that if you get with that person, then of course they wouldn't leave you. So you got with the safe option because you knew they were just thankful to be able to be with you, that they weren't going to leave you. But guess what? It all ended up failing anyway. They all ended up leaving anyway, because my motives and why I was in those relationships wasn't right. It wasn't pure. It wasn't ready it wasn't healed. So it wasn't ready to actually be able to look at a potential candidate as my mate or a potential mate as a person that I wanted to have court me or I wanted to court them. I was looking at it from a broken place. And when you're looking at things from a broken place, you're going to see things from a broken lens. So that's why the healing process is important. Not to say that God can't heal and restore and bless relationships that started when people are broken. He absolutely can. But it is the exception, not the rule. Most of the time, when you make decisions in your broken state, when you actually heal and you look back at some of the relationships that you chose or some of the paths that you chose, and you look at those people and you're like, I would have never dated them if I had the same level of healing and self-assurance about myself that I do now. I would have never even given them the time of day. And that's when you know you are healed, because what used to sound like something that was amazing to you, when you really take a step back and you look at it from a healed lens, you see just how detrimental and how damaging and how terribly wrong for you that it was. Doesn't mean the person is wrong. It just means it's not your person. It just means that you guys weren't meant to be. But if you are trying to make relationships and date and do all of these things while you're still from a broken place, you're going to view them from a broken lens. And I'm trying to help us get to the place where we stop making these same mistakes, dating these same type of people and making those same errors. The whole purpose of this journey is to learn the lesson so that we don't have to keep making those same things and keep going through those same painful situations. And I had to learn it the hard way. I started my journey very young. I've told my story many times of how I got married the first time at 18, was married to him for 7 years, got married to the second husband for 10 years. I was still very damaged. I was still very broken. I was still very bruised from the first husband. But even with him, I realized that I was still broken and damaged from my childhood. There were things that I had gone through in my childhood that nobody knew about, that I kept as a secret. Well, very few people, I'll say, knew about. And even them, they didn't know the full details of things that I had gone through. They didn't know the full detriment of how it felt to watch my father beat my mother and to think of how I would never let a man put his hands on me. And then I ended up in an abusive relationship. All of those things were things that I had to work through. I had to go through that healing process. So I knew that I was not going to be presenting the best version of Erica that I could present coming from that place. I had to do the work and work internally on the things that were challenging to me, the things that were hard for me to face, the things that I had to make, amends with, and things that I had to actually admit to myself. You know, nobody wanted to admit the sexual assault things that they had gone through. You suppress that stuff for a reason. A lot of times if things happen to you in your childhood, you suppress it because it kind of helps you not go crazy. So I knew that I had suppressed a lot of things. It's still things that to this day, I cannot remember full details of because I suppressed it. And it's in the recesses of my mind somewhere, but eventually I'm willing to go there and go deep and deal with whatever issues come my way, because I want to ultimately be the best version I need to be for my purpose, for what God has called me to do in this earth. I want to be the best version of what he's called me to be as a mother, the best version of what he's called me to be as a wife, as a partner, as a friend, as a colleague, as a coworker, an employee, whatever that is, whatever those different roles are that God has me play. I want to make sure that I'm putting my best foot forward. And the only way to do that is by consecrating and setting yourself apart for a period of time until you go through your healing process. Am I saying that it's easy? Absolutely not. Am I saying that it's not lonely? Absolutely not. But I've gotten to a point where I would say probably for the last few years now, where I am not ever lonely. I actually choose to be alone. It's a choice at this point. I choose to be alone because I'm still working through some things. Not only am I working through like my healing journey, because I feel like I'm pretty much where I need to be as far as healing is concerned. We all have things that we're still working on. But for the most part, I feel like I've done the deep, hard work and I've dealt with the really hard, tough things for the most part. Right now, my focus is my purpose. My focus is what is the impact that God wants me to make on this world while I'm in this earth, while I'm in this body, while I'm breathing this breath? What are the things that I am supposed to contribute to society? So that has become my focus. So that is my focus number one. But at this place in my life, I do feel ready. I'm so ready and so excited about God revealing to me my husband, who my person is, my partner, that's going to be able to go on this journey with me. And I'll be able to go on the journey with him. And our destinies will be able to meet in the middle. And we'll be able to make an impact on this world together. I'm so looking forward to that. But I also know that there are things that I'm working through, things that I'm building, establishing for myself, so that when he comes into my life, I'm fully ready and I'm fully prepared. So let's talk about that consecration for a minute. Okay, so when I say consecration and setting yourself aside, in many ways, for me, it meant fasting, it meant praying, it meant abstaining from sex for a period of time. I know I can hear you guys saying it, abstain from sex. Ha, who's doing that? But I will tell you, all of those things that we do sometimes cloud our judgment. And if your mind is focused on your healing process, you really want to just take every thing that could be a distraction away and focus your energy and your attention on your healing. So super important. So I say all of that to say it may require you to abstain from sex. Not everybody's going to do it. I get it. I understand. But I would definitely recommend some time of fasting and some time of prayer. If you're a person that believes in a higher power, if you believe in God, I definitely believe you set aside that time for prayer and fasting. And fasting doesn't mean necessarily not eating anything forever or, you know, for 5 days. It could just mean literally fasting away from something that is something that you enjoy. Maybe fasting from social media, fasting from TV for a period of time, and really getting into a place where you grab your journal and you're writing out the things that are coming to you. When we have all those distractions shut off, including sex, including talking to people, including our social media, including our dating apps, including all the things that people use as distractions, it really takes time for you to, it takes the attention on you, and you are able to focus your energy and your attention on yourself and go within. And you're no longer hiding behind the television, hiding behind your social media, hiding behind your dating app. You're now forced to take you, your journal, a piece of paper and a pen, and write out those things that are being revealed to you. I can guarantee you, when you set aside time and you just choose to listen and keep your heart open, I can guarantee you, you will hear from God. You will hear some direction. You will be able to see, oh, that's why I was doing this thing this way. Or that's why I was thinking this way. That's why I chose this type of partner. I wanted to save them. That was my thing. I felt like I always had a passion for people. I always had a passion for the community. I always had a passion for doing good in the community and trying to really make a difference. And then I realized that I kind of had this mentality of, you know, coming from a very poor beginning and a very hard background. I always wanted to, you know, not let other people suffer. I always wanted to save everybody. If I saw you broken, I wanted to save you. And I get a lot of that from my mother. She has the sweetest heart and she's always helping somebody, and sometimes to her own detriment, she's done it. And I used to watch her doing it. And I also have that same thing. I have a big heart and a big passion for people, but I had to learn boundaries. And it wasn't until I consecrated myself and really set aside time to just get rid of all the distractions that I was able to hear from God and hear him tell me, you need firmer boundaries. Just because you're firm with someone and you tell someone no, that doesn't mean that you're not showing love. And for me, I always equated love with what you do for people. I didn't necessarily equate love with sometimes love is tough love. Sometimes love is showing a person that you're not going to allow them to treat you a certain way. You're not going to allow them to talk to you a certain way. You're not going to allow them to do things to you a certain way. And I had to learn the balance of boundaries. And my biggest example was Jesus. I would look at the scriptures like the Gospels, and I looked at how he would talk to those Sadducees and those Pharisees that were basically always trying to ridicule him or say that he was doing something that was against the law. And he would talk to them really firm. He was still showing love. He was still showing character, but he was firm. He had firm boundaries. And I had to learn that. I'm still learning that. That is a part of something that was embedded in me from childhood, watching my mom do it, as well as I think just a part of my personality, wanting to give, wanting to make a difference, wanting to save everybody, wanting to help everybody. I had to learn the value, and I'm still learning the value of placing boundaries. But the way that I'm able to do that is by actually setting aside time to really meditate, really pray, really get into scriptures if that's what you believe in, and really just kind of sit down and sit with yourself, taking out your journal, taking out a piece of paper and a pen, and really writing out those things that are that you're dealing with. I can guarantee you guys that when you take that time to set aside, not only in your healing process, but set aside consecrated time where you are getting rid of all distractions, I can guarantee you, you will get some direction. You will get some guidance as to how to move forward. Because ultimately, we want to present the best versions of ourselves every day. At least we should. My goal is always to be the best version of myself, not just for my spouse that's coming, not just for my children, not just in my businesses, not just on my job, but I want to be the best self because I want God to be proud of me. I want to be able to be proud of myself for what I've done and how I've maintained my integrity and my honor and my character in the midst of everything that was going around me. Am I perfect? Absolutely not. Do I have my things about me that I always say are my raggedy ways? I absolutely do. I can be I speak my mind very well. And I've had to learn that. So now I have to dial it back just a little bit. So there are things that I'm still working on. We're human. We're going to be working every day until we leave this earth. So I just want to encourage you guys to set those boundaries, set firm boundaries in your life, which means you need to consecrate and dedicate some time to your healing process where you are eliminating all your distractions. Because guess what? Those distractions are hindering you and keeping you stuck where you are. And the goal is to get out of that. We want to get past the healing process of those things from our past. And we want to move into being the better version of ourselves. And guess what? Once you get into that relationship, you'll then have new sets of challenges and new sets of things that you'll need to work on and new ways of thinking. Like one of the things that I am intensely, really, really practicing now intentionally is learning to listen to whomever, not for the sake of having a rebuttal, but listening to really understand. I want to be in a place where I know how to love my partner. Not based on the way that I love, but based on the way they need me to love them. I want to love a person truly, truly unconditionally. So when God sends me that husband, I can truly say that I can love him unconditionally. Does that mean I allow him to abuse me? No. Boundaries. Does that mean I allow him to take advantage of me? No. Boundaries. But that means that even in the things that I don't like about you, I love them about you because they make you you. And I need to learn how to navigate and how to relate to you in that way. So if you're a person that loves to debate, and I hate debating. I hate arguing. I'm not into it. If that's how you are, then I need to learn how to love you in that way, even though that irritates my soul. Am I going to be able to change it? No. I'm not loving you to change you into what I think you should be. I'm loving you right where you are and learning and asking God how to love you right where you are so that I can be whatever I need to be to help you become the best version of yourself. Because I can guarantee you, it's not in your nagging or your fussing or your complaining or you telling the person what you don't like about them. It is really in your life and you loving them that it's going to actually cause them to change. I've seen this work in my own past marriage. Before my first husband, for sure, definitely. There were times where I would just back away from fussing and arguing and fighting. And I just let my love be the thing that caused him to come to me and say, you know what? I need to work on this. I need to change in this area. Because nobody can deal with you and convict your heart like the Holy Spirit can. That's not my job. That's the Holy Spirit's job. So my job is to love him. My job is to learn how to love him the way that he deserves to be loved. And that way it makes me the better partner for him. Are you going to be perfect? No. Are you going to get it right every time? No. But the goal is to always strive towards that. So I hope this message helped you guys. It's really near and dear to my heart. It is something that I am consciously working on. I am dedicating and consecrating my time. I'm getting rid of distractions. I'm focused on my purpose and my destiny right now. And I'm focused on where I'm going and preparing myself to be the wife that God has for my husband who is coming. I love you guys. I will see you guys next week. Thank you. Bye.